Hello there. My name is Kelsey Guckenberger, and I'm a pastor here at Christ Community Church in Des Moines, Iowa. I've been connected to the Ecclesia Project for a number of years through our church. I'm so grateful to be asked to preach this year at the gathering on technology. So without further ado, we'll begin with a reading from Genesis.
Our reading comes from Genesis 11, verses 1 through 9. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. As they moved eastward, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. They said one to another, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used bricks instead of stone and tar for mortar. And then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the children of Adam were building. The Lord said, "Indeed, if as one people speaking one language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language, so they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. This is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord God, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. May the favor of the Lord, our God, rest on us and establish the work of our hands. Amen. Well, after a year of incredible isolation, we can all give a joyful shout of gratitude for the technology that has kept us connected. We give thanks that we could FaceTime our grandkids blowing out their birthday candles. We give thanks for weekly phone calls with a beloved friend with whom we could laugh and weep. We give thanks for silly cat videos when all the news seemed bleak. And we give thanks for the Brady Bunch of faces on Zoom that smiled back at us during worship week after week. In a famine of fellowship, technology connected us to community and helped us through a long loneliness. And for that, we give thanks to God. Technology connects us. It unites us with people we love and with strangers with common interests all around the globe. But as divisions deepen across our country, this year, we have also lamented how technology has formed communities with a toxic sort of unity. Through computer algorithms that quickly calculate what is most likely to keep our attention, we are constantly fed a supply of articles and images that confirm our deepest fears, instilling in us a suspicion of others while affirming an ever higher view of our own very important opinions. Almost imperceptibly, technology nudges us into communities of uniformity. Groups with the same ideas, the same views, the same language, and the same contempt towards those who speak differently. Gathering via chat rooms, Facebook groups, and Twitter, we can connect constantly with people just like us without ever leaving the living room. But while technology helps us find people who think just like we do, it is difficult for it to connect us with people who think differently. And this insulation from difference begins to shape our entire lives. Since virtual friends don't have disagreeable signs in their front lawns, Facebook chats replace real neighbor relationships. Speaking your truth replaces listening on and off screen, and diversity of any kind begins to look like a threat. These virtual echo chambers alienate us from our families, churches, and communities, and lead us to fear instead of love, and violence instead of peace. We lament the ways we have let technology divide us one from another. So, here's the question for today. If technology can either connect us into healthy unity, in which we grow in love for our neighbor, or an unhealthy uniformity, in which we grow to fear our neighbor, how do we use technology well? How can we use it to fulfill our God-given call to neighborliness and love, to restoring broken relationships? How can we use technology to cultivate God's blessing to all the earth instead of using it to insulate ourselves from others for self-sufficiency and security? Our text from Genesis today depicts a community that formed around the incredible technology of the brick. While it certainly won't make anyone's list of impressive tech advancements today, in ancient Mesopotamia, the brick was a game changer. Unlike a structure built with stones that come in all shapes and sizes, bricks offer the possibility of building with the ultimate uniformity. Each brick molded with exactly the same height and width, streamlining the building process so that structures could be built bigger, stronger, and more impressively than ever before. Seeing the power and the efficiency of uniformity, the people wandering on the plains of Shinar decided to make the brick the very foundation of their society. With the brick, they could prevent the natural sprawl of people across the land. With the brick, they would be able to create walls for their own security and power over their enemies. With the brick, they would make a great name for themselves and build a temple that reached up to the heavens, coming face to face with God. With a brick, they could elevate one name, one culture, one city above all others. And if the brick could help them do this, who could stop them? What else could they possibly need? So they put their trust in technology instead of trusting in God. There is no question that this plan of uniformity was effective. God sees their strategy and says, if as one people speaking one language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Clearly, there is power in unifying. The question is, will this unity be used for the good of others or for their oppression? Will the community honor God or seek to make a name for itself above all others? This brick-based community will one day become the powerful empire of Babylon. In 586 BC, this empire, known for incredible military precision and efficiency, will come to Jerusalem and utterly destroy the city and the holy temple. Babylon will capture Jerusalem's inhabitants and take them back to their city of bricks to assimilate them into the uniformity machine. They will try to squeeze out their differences and form them into the image of Babylon's culture, speech, and mission, destroying not only their city, but their unique identity, not only their homes, but their ways of life, so that everyone could be streamlined into a brick in the Babylonian machine. Assimilation and uniformity are the ways of a powerful empire, but they are not the ways of our powerful God. From the beginning of creation, God called into being a unity that included difference, diversity, uniqueness. The world God created was not homogeneous, but filled with darkness and light, fish in the sea and birds in the air, fruit trees and grass. And God said it was all good. Our God is not the creator of robots, after all, but humans in their vast array. People made in God's image to blossom in different sizes, shapes, and colors, with unique cultures and a variety of interwoven gifts. And after God made them, God placed them in a garden to work the ground, to cultivate it and nurture its life and take it somewhere. On the seventh day of creation, God heard the great cacophony of birds and insects and rustling grass and human voices all joining together, and was filled with delight. From the beginning, God declared difference and uniqueness and creativity all unified in the worship of the triune creator, very good. But creation turned away from God's call to unity and diversity. The people at Babel did not gather to glorify God, but instead gathered around their trust in the brick. Rather than using technology to serve and tend creation, they sought to make a name for themselves, to seek power over others, to separate themselves from difference. And so, seeing that the community of Babel could lead only to violence and death, God decided to put an end to it. God does not send a great wind, a violent army, or a fire to knock down the tower, but calls creation back to the unity and difference that God had always intended for its flourishing. "Come, let us go down," says the Lord. And don't miss that here even God is not a uniformity, but is three in one, the ultimate unity in difference. "Come, let us go down and confuse their language," says the Lord. And without one language, one speech, one mission, the people abandon their bricks and spread out across the land. But God does not let this scattering have the final word. In the very next chapter of Genesis, God calls a wandering old man with no reputation, no power, no great name for himself, and God gives him everything that the people of Babel desired. Doesn't that just sound like our God? "Go out from your land, your family," says the Lord, "and I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Abram does not strive for, but is given a future, a reputation, and becomes a unifying center for the regathering of all nations. It is everything that the brick people desired, and yet everything is different. Abram does not achieve his power and great name by trusting in technology, but is given everything because he trusts in God. Abram doesn't avoid technology, but it is not his center, the object of his trust. Abram is blessed not so that he is safe and secure, but in order that he might be a blessing to all. His greatness and power is given not to puff himself up, but in order to lift up those who had been cast down. Through this family, God promises to restore the type of unity that God had created in Eden, that all nations and peoples might unite and rely on God's life-giving power. And so Abram is given a new name, a great name, Abraham, the father of a nation called to keep its center in God. And though many of Abraham's children sought power and great names and turned to go their own way, in the descendants of Abraham came a carpenter who did not seek a name for himself, but lifted up the lowly. Jesus was a builder who did not seek the power of the brick or elevate his name through violence and coercion, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. Instead of seeking power over others, he came down and humbled himself and was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. But it is in his coming down that he is lifted up. In his coming down that God has highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every other name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bend in heaven and on earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Babel is a story about our hopeless human desire to trust in self-securing instead of dependence, in superiority instead of love and generosity, in efficiency instead of creativity, and in power instead of service. And as we know all too well from our own lives, this is not an ancient problem we've left behind. We continue to manipulate technology as a means to make our name great, believing I am what I do. We continue to rely on technology to cultivate our image, to gain recognition, believing I am what other people think about me. The powerful and proud continue to build tall towers with their names on top to spread their own fame and glory, believing I am what I have. And don't we all do this? We put our trust in technology to secure our futures, to save us from the pain and vulnerability, to distance ourselves from people we don't really like. But putting technology at our center never leads us to the heavens, but leads us to violence and control towards those who threaten our power and our own vision of uniformity. It places our trust in technology and in ourselves when God alone can give us a great name, can give us security and life. No amount of striving can bring God down from the heavens or build us a temple that takes us up to the skies. No technology can give us the name and security we hunger for or save us from everything we fear. But we don't have to strive to make a name for ourselves. We don't have to search for a way to the clouds, for God has come down. God has shown that true power is found in gracious humility instead of pride. God has made us in God's image of unity and diversity and has sent us the Son so that, like Abraham, we might receive God's blessing and be a blessing to the world. It is only in Jesus' great name that we can truly find our center. Only by finding our identity in Him that we can truly become great. For if we are not secure in who we are in Christ, then the technology of weapons and violence starts sounding very attractive. For how else can we really be safe? If we are not secure in who we are in Christ, then we will devote our time to cultivating a Photoshop image of our lives instead of actually living. How else will we be chosen But if we are secure in who we are in Christ, in who Christ has said that we are, if we can remember that we belong, that we have been called good by our Creator, that we do not have to be afraid, then technology can become a means of blessing, a way to connect to those who are lonely, a means of tending creation and taking the world somewhere that glorifies God. So will we be bricks in the Babylonian machine? Or will we follow the way of the carpenter, who was a stumbling block for many and was rejected on the cross, but raised again in glory to be the chief cornerstone of God's temple forever? Church, we are not called to make the brick our center, but to be the living stones of the carpenter, chosen and precious in God's sight, with all our unique rough curves and edges. As those who find their unity in a Lord who came down, we must be those who use technology to be people of self-giving love. As those who have been chosen, who have been loved, who have been forgiven by God, we do not need to use technology to make a great name for ourselves. For we have been welcomed into the living temple of the risen Lord, and have been made the very children of God. What greater name could we hope for than this? So let us use technology wisely to find unity with one another and glorify God, that we might be stones built into a living temple. Let us join the great cacophony of birds and insects and rustling grass in lifting our voices to God in worship and thanksgiving, that every tongue, tribe, and nation that was scattered might be regathered in worship of the living God. And together, let us cry out with a loud voice, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belongs to our God. Amen.